This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Coming up next, conversations on human rights with Speak Up, Kōrero Tia, here on Plains FM.
E nā mana, e nā reo, e nā hō e whā. Tēnā koutou katoa. No mai ki tēne hōtaka. Speak Up, Kōrero Tia. Tune in as our guests Speak Up, sharing their unique and powerful experiences and opinions. And may you also be inspired to speak up when the moment's right.
Welcome to Speak Up, Kōrero Tia. Ko sale kālan tōku ingoa, ke te noho oi o tōtahi. Today's topic, te kōpapa o tēne rā, youth engagement in elections. And I'm pretty excited to say we've got some members of the Christchurch Youth Council, the Ōtautahi Youth Council here with us, and also someone from Youth Voice Canterbury. So I think it's going to be quite a different topic for us, and it's nice to have some real young people along, which makes a bit of a change sometimes. Now, if you guys could just introduce yourselves, that would be fantastic.
Sure. My name's Sophie. I'm 19 years old, and I'm the treasurer of the Christchurch Youth Council. At the moment, I'm training to be a nurse, and I do a lot of volunteer work through different organisations.
What kind of volunteer work?
So I work at 298, the Youth Health Centre, and I've recently been put in a role of a radio lollipop volunteer at Christchurch Hospital, which is really exciting.
Very cool. And you, Tay?
So my name is Tay, and I'm 17 years old, and I am an executive member of the Christchurch Youth Council, and like Sophie, I'm also involved in different groups and volunteer for different organisations around the city. I have a particular interest in human rights, but also just like in international human rights as well, and international law, so I'm with the UN Youth as well. And I'm just finishing high school.
Do you know what you want to do next year?
Yes, I'm going to attend University of Canterbury and do a degree in law, political science and Spanish.
Wowzers.
Yeah, pretty cool. Amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
And finally.
Yeah, so kia ora, my name's Taylor and I'm the co-chair of Youth Voice Canterbury. I am doing a Bachelor of Social Work. I've just finished my fourth year. I handed in my last assignment at 6 a.m. this morning.
Oh, well done.
I really enjoy volunteering. My passion is really around youth participation, whether that's in local government or to do with wellbeing or environment, just young people having a say about what's important to them. I believe that's a human rights thing as well. And so I just like to take different opportunities to really promote where young people can get involved.
One thing that's obviously a common thread between all of you is volunteering, and it works well in terms of what we're talking about today, youth getting involved. Just to, I guess, kick the conversation off, what do you see the benefit in volunteering being?
I think in volunteering you really get to realise who you are as well, and that's obviously not what it's about, but if you volunteer you can definitely see other people's lives, see what they're doing, see different perspectives on the world, as well as helping people, and everybody wins in the situation, so it makes you well-rounded, and then you learn. So that's kind of what I think on the topic.
Yeah, I just find it really empowering, and I just love being able to work with people in a role that I might not be able to have right now. Like, obviously, I couldn't just work at 298 because I'm not qualified. But having those positions and those roles to kind of give me an idea of what I want to do later on. And I love helping young people and just working with them to kind of have their voice. It's really, really cool.
When we're talking about youth, how do you guys define it?
About 12 to 24 is the general youth spectrum. Yeah. So,
That's defined by the Youth Development Strategy for New Zealand, 12 to 24.
And then in the, I know in UNCROP, which is the UN, Rights of the Child, whole thing.
Convention on the Rights of the Child. Yep.
That I believe is up to 18, though, not 24, which is okay. And people are looking at getting that raised, so that's interesting.
It's quite interesting as well, because Youth Voice Canterbury is a network of different youth councils and youth participation groups, that we have quite a few cultural groups, and, you know, young is considered quite, to us it might be quite old, but to them it's still quite young, you know, young professionals. Even one of our youth participation groups, one of their members is 30, and they're, you know, still considered a young person, and they participate in everything that we do. So I think it's quite a solid definition by the strategy, but it's also quite not tangible, but, you know, something that's really flexible.
Broad.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was speaking today with some older people, and they were saying they don't even feel, you know, they still feel like they're teenagers in some ways. So it makes it difficult, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. No, we look at it like brain development as well, so yeah. Which has been moved from about 21 to 24 now, so that's quite interesting.
Do you know why it's been moved that back again?
Back to 24. Not precisely, but just through nursing stuff, I'm aware that it's because our brains have been, you know, like, we're still finding out more about the brain development, and it's looking like it's further along than we thought it would be.
Interesting.
So I'm 22, I'll hold on to it for as long as I can.
Absolutely.
And this show's particularly around youth engagement in elections, and why is that an important issue for you guys?
I see it that, you know, the future is everyone's, but we've really got to focus on engaging our young people, because this will be their home soon. And, you know, we are only, you know, young people are turning 18 now and up to 24, but
this is their home though already.
Exactly.
That's my thought, that, like, this is their home already, and a lot of young people are being, some people are being pushed to move out of Christchurch, especially Christchurch and Canterbury, by their friends. I don't know what's happening in other cities, I've heard that, but it's still the same. They don't want to stay in their home circles, but, like, now, because people have realised that, lots of people are, because, you know, trends change and things. And I just think that many, like, want to know what's happening, want to know about where they'll be living, and they, you know, they don't think that that's where they go for it. They don't think elections is the time and the place, which is a little interesting, because, you know, policies that are made by people who are on community boards and who are politicians, not necessarily career politicians, but just people who are decision makers, actually, they surround everything, you know, they surround everything someone would want to know. They surround the education that young people will be getting, and it's really important. And a lot of people believe that that elections are a time that, when we're trying to get things like youth engagement, we're trying to, you know, pull people into the politics of it all, but really we're just trying to all inform them of what they want to know. So that's kind of why it's really, really important.
And young people have such different views to older people that have been voting for a long time, so we're really getting this different, like, influx of like information. Like, young people are probably more passionate about having things to do in the city because they're getting bored, whereas adults are probably more interested about pay and roads and everything, you know, that they're involved with. So it's really getting this whole load of different information for everyone.
But of course, that's what the young people are, you know, coming into. Like, they want to know what they're getting into when they become an adult. Or,
yeah.
From my point of view, you know, when it gets around to election time, what the politicians try to sell is what they can do for you, you know, what their vision for the future is and what their commitment will be to future citizens. And young people are citizens now, but, you know, they are the future citizens of Christchurch. But young people, as they stand, are very focused in the now, you know. You know, it's really hard, even for me, you know, beyond what am I going to be doing beyond this year, you know. I'm really in the moment. A lot of young people live in the moment. But when it gets to elections, you need to sit down and look at, okay, what are all these people offering? What's going to benefit me? And that kind of requires a lot of forward thinking, and I think that's a really interesting mix, you know, trying to get young people to think, okay, so what do you want from your city? What do you want for your future, and who's offering that, and who should you vote for? It's about kind of highlighting how that's really relevant.
I think engagement through the events, like by groups like YVC or Youth Voice Canterbury or the Christchurch Youth Council, are important, because it means that people get to engage and not actually be too stressed about it. You know, if you look at things at home and say, oh, I've got to think about this, this and this for the future, then it just gets it all a bit too much. But if you attend an event, then maybe it's a little bit more
manageable.
A little bit more separated and manageable.
So I think, like, young people are, you know, you live your life and, like, elections, that's the word. Elections are something that just kind of, like, happens, you know, whether you engage in it or not, it's going to happen. And so why should I care? And it's kind of about bringing it, you know, if young people are down here and elections are this, like, thing, it's about how do we bring that down and make it relevant and tangible. Yeah. And I think, yeah, engagement, events and, you know, making it fun, making it relevant, making it something that young people want to be a part of and can see the value in.
Mm. That seems like a perfect place for our first break. And Tay, we're going to have a song that you've chosen.
Welcome back to Speak Up Kōrero Tia. We're with Sophie and Tay from the Christchurch Youth Council
and Taylor from Youth Voice Canterbury, and we're discussing youth engagement in elections. And in this segment, I'd like to focus a little bit on what's just happened in the recent local body elections. So we just had elections right across New Zealand for our local councils. And I know that you guys were busy doing lots of activities trying to engage youth in the process, make it relevant, as we were talking about before. So it'd be great to hear about what were some of those activities you were trying to do?
There were lots. So do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So we, Youth Voice Canterbury, the Christchurch Youth Council, and we partnered with Pilot, which is the Pacific Youth Leadership and Transformation Council. We partnered to run two events called Youth Focus, and we held one on the east and one on the west. And that was an event where we brought together young people, the community board members and councillors. And we got questions from young people prior to the events that we put to the community board members and the councillors. And it was just a bit of a Q&A and an opportunity to network. And kind of what we were talking about before, create an environment where elections and what's happening actually seem really relevant to young people. There was also presentations as part of that, you know, to inform young people about what are elections, why it's important to vote, you know, where democracy comes from, and, you know, how the elections work across Environment Canterbury, Christchurch City Council and CDHB, because it all happens at once and it's so confusing.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully understand it, to be honest.
And lots of people think, oh, it's just the local body for the government, but it is also the Environment Canterbury and DHB here, like Taylor said, and we had some of those candidates along as well. So we did have, like Taylor said, existing like community board members and councillors, but we also had like people who were like running for the first time, but we could actually, you know, really in person feel where they were coming from and what they were truly about, which made a lot of people think about what they wanted for their city. I know that I had feedback as a member of CYC, you know, not from people that I knew as friends, but people who just came up to me and said, I've come to this event and now I can say to my parents, you know, I'm staying here next year, I'm still going to high school, or I'm going to university here, and I now know that I, you know, want my parents to vote for this person or this person because of what they can do for me. So it's about being a community, and that's what we tried to make those events about, like having been on the organising committee. I definitely think that that was a big goal, and we had the survey, like Taylor said, we had 37 people answer that. So we want to get those statistics of having people answer our surveys up next year when we hopefully run one for you know, the future events. Run on for another election.
Sorry, can I just interrupt though? What was the survey asking?
The survey was just asking what the important issues were for young people, like ranking the issues that we'd listed, and then asking if they had any other ones that they wanted, and then asking if they had questions. So that's where we got the questions from, which is really
to
cool.
Ask candidates.
To ask candidates.
And we also had the two mural candidates who came along as well, and we had it's like a 20-minute debate where they could kind of bounce off each other and talk about issues, which was really cool for us to see, because obviously in the elections, I guess their main audience seems to be the adults, and they're like, okay, so this is what we can do for you and this is what we're wanting to do, but it's like, how as a young person do we bring that back to our level and say, look, well, this is what I want, who's going to do that for me? And so that's kind of why we had the whole event, was to kind of look at the issues that we thought were the most important and hear what they had to say about them. So it was really, really exciting.
Yeah, the thing about the ages we all are is that we're in an in-between stage. That's why it's 12 to 24, because we're not children anymore. So it's not like, you know, they're pitching to the adults what they want and then they can decide for, you know, the kids. It's, you know, having a young family. It's more and more becoming about, you know, what we want. You know, in our minds and as our own people, which is really interesting. And that's why it was so amazing when we had, it was over 500 views overall on
our live streams,
wasn't it?
So that's great. It shows how many young people are so interested in these events.
We wanted to make the event as accessible as possible. Yes. So we live tweeted the main points of every candidate, and also live stream both the events on Facebook, which, saw some good engagement.
Yeah.
What were the main issues that these young people were bringing forward?
The top one was wellbeing.
Yeah, so things like wellbeing, housing, transport, environment. Yeah. And these are all big issues for adults as well, don't get us wrong. But I think when you're pitching to a younger audience, it's a different spin. You know, when you're talking about housing, it's about becoming a first home buyer and a deposit, and how accessible is it going to be to live in the city, you know, transport. Public transport is really relevant because, you know, most young people don't even have a licence. You know, youth wellbeing and mental health is such an important issue in Canterbury, particularly at the moment. And so it's about, these are issues for everyone, but what are you going to do for young people in particular? And the Q&A, the opportunity for questions, was really cool. Young people themselves could ask questions from the audience, and so there was that real passion when people could get up and challenge candidates, especially ones who have already been and served a term. So, okay, well, you're saying you'll do this, but you never did. So, again, that's that, making it really tangible and exciting.
And I think overall, on a lot of those levels, we had like sustainability come up so much, like social sustainability, how we can keep that conversation going around the transport. Again, it was just and sustainable housing as well. And it was really, really interesting to think that, because Christchurch is a city that has so much opportunity to be whatever we want to be. And like we said before, the young people are the people who will be shaping it into that, spending the most time making it that way and how we want it to be, and having actually, I think, one of the biggest influences. So that was cool to see that they want that for our city.
If we're thinking about the work that you've done in terms of trying to engage young people, did you see that reflect in voter turnout? Do you have any sense of how many young people actually
responded? We don't have any statistics on how many people voted, but we do have that between 18 and 24, 66% were enrolled, and 25 to 29, 76.8% were enrolled to vote. I'm not too sure how many people did vote.
We don't know about the young person, like voter turnout in general, but the voter turnout overall in the local elections here was apparently 38.34%, which is
very low.
Very low. And something that I find saddening but interesting, and we're going to keep working it through all our different groups to try and, you know, put it forward to young people. And when you think about age group that we keep mentioning, the 12 to 24, it's actually 60-40 who, you know, out of that roughly who get to vote, because you've got 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and then, you know, you can vote at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. So, you know,
So
60% is in that voter bit? Yeah, 60% is in the voter bit. So we can actually be doing a lot more, I think, and we'll focus a lot on that.
As well, you know, a lot of young people who came to the event, it's really hard to correlate the event and how successful it was and, you know, to how many people voted, because a lot of the young people we're trying to engage can't vote. It's installing that, I guess, you know, the idea of democracy and getting involved, you know, when before they vote, so that when they do vote, you know, they realise the importance of it.
Yeah,
but it's also saying, okay, you know, you can't vote, but, you know, we want to acknowledge that what you think about your city and what you want to ask candidates is just as valid, even if you can't
And
can't
let
vote.
Someone else kind of guide that through. Because I personally, voting for the first time, like only being part of the Youth Council was I able to really truly grasp what I wanted to vote for. Most of my friends didn't vote at all. Mm-hmm. And I asked why, and they're like, oh, well, I don't know any of the candidates and I don't even know how to vote. And, you know, this is the thing that Taylor's saying, we should be engaging them before they turn 18, so that when they turn 18 and they can vote, they know what to do. Yeah. Because people are not voting because they just don't understand. Yeah.
Well, that's another great spot to have another break. Sophie, we've got your choice, Read All About It. Was there a reason why you chose that one?
I find the song incredibly empowering, and it's really my song to kind of keep doing what I'm doing, even if it's a bit hard sometimes. And it's just really getting a voice out there for anyone, and that if you have something valid to say, or if you have anything to say, just say it. So
it doesn't have to be valid, does it?
Exactly.
Everyone's got a different interpretation of what valid might be.
Yeah, exactly.
To Speak Up Kōrerotia. I'm your host, Sally Carlton. We're with Taylor from Youth Voice Canterbury and Tay and Sophie from Christchurch Youth Council discussing youth engagement in elections. We've just spoken about youth engagement in the local Christchurch elections, the fact that a very, very low voter turnout generally, we're not sure how that relates to the youth necessarily. And I think in this segment, it'll be really cool to think about the local, well, the recent elections in America and how engaged people were with that, including young people, as far as I can tell, coming from a slightly different demographic to you guys. And just to have a reflection on why we think people were so engaged with that.
I have seen a lot of engagement, like, all over, you know, like, pages I run and my own personal Facebook page. And I think the thing is, though, because I'm on CYC, I know a lot of people who are really, really engaged in our... in our groups already, so my I don't know if my view on it is actually the view on it.
Been some really interesting commentary around like this idea of kind of social media bubbles, and you know, as people who are presumably really politically and engaged in the world and in democracy, we kind of socialise with people who have those same kind of views.
I think the area selection really brought up something that just hadn't been seen before. I live with two males who are 22 and 23, and they have no interest in what I do. They're not, you know, it was like pulling teeth trying to get them to vote, but I refuse to live with people who wouldn't vote in the local elections. But, you know, and I try to talk to them about what's going on locally, and they just don't care. But we will be there, and they... Well, we're sitting in the lounge, you know, and they'll say to me, oh, did you see what Trump said? Did you see this article about Hillary Clinton? You know, and I was like, how can you be interested in what's going on over there and not really care about what's happening in your own backyard? And so, yeah, I think you have probably have more of it if you are, you know, because we are in our own political kind of bubbles, but it just totally expanded beyond that this year, and that's what blows my mind.
I think the thing is that there is the biggest deal about America being this leader of the free world, and I feel like Obama really, really enforced that, no matter like your views on him or whatever. I don't think, you know, that's definitely something he did, but I think the thing with this election is that it's just become so big because of the extremism. We haven't seen this much extremism in many, many years. We have a lot of different sides coming at us. And I think the thing is that also that people don't really understand the dynamic, or people here don't really understand the dynamic of American politics sometimes, and that it's actually not that unusual for someone who's already, you know, a bit famous, a bit poncy like Trump to go for a candidacy. We've seen that in history, and that is okay in America generally, but because of who he was, I feel like there was a lot of jokes and things around, like, even before some of the, you know, aforementioned extremism was happening.
As well, you know, the extremism, with that comes like controversy and drama and then memes and then jokes. And I think that really engages young people because it makes it exciting, and, you know, something was coming out every single day.
Yeah, well, to be honest, like, in social media, where young people tend to communicate the most, is there was definitely a lot more of American election information coming than probably from our local elections.
Yes.
And I think that comes from the fact that we've got two candidates that are extremely different.
Yes.
And have, in America, you know, you can really only run if you have a huge amount of money. And we've had Hillary run, being one of the first possible female presidents, and then Donald Trump coming from being one of the only ones that's come through who has no political background at all.
Yeah.
And so we've had this huge clash of, like, oh my gosh. And people are so scared of either one. Like, I mean, you know, neither of them are particularly ideal, but, you know, people are afraid that
it's even interesting, like,
going to happen.
Sorry, covering my mouth. It's even interesting listening to, like, your language just then. You're saying we have two candidates, like, you know, like, they're our candidates as well, because they're not, but it feels like they are because they're so in our face all the time.
See, coming from,
but, you know, they're president. They're going to be the president, and the way that America acts has an impact on
us. Definitely.
And, you know, like, they're still our president as well. Like, we're in this whole, you know, the world looks huge from the outside, but actually, you know, we're all the same.
It's all connected.
I've just been overseas in America and seen all of this happening. And, you know, America's not that far away. Like,
it's
a 13-hour plane trip on a plane, and, you know, and then you're there, and it's like...
But then it's so hard, you know, so far away, but I agree that, yeah, you know, they are, it is so relevant to us. But then how do we separate that and say, yeah, that is relevant to us as young people, but what's happening here is actually just as relevant, if not more.
Yeah.
Even, you know, from my point, I think local body government has even sometimes more of an impact on us than national elections. And and so it's everyone's so focused on, yeah, this huge macro, but really it's this micro that's going to impact us most. So we need to really drum up some interest
from,
in that.
Coming from both perspectives, because I'm half American as well, and you wouldn't know it listening to my voice nowadays, but... that is the thing there. Until the whole Trump-Hillary thing happened, and still, local body is the biggest deal for them. They're having the public meetings. They're having, you know, the forums and the talks, and it may be a different system, but it's really, they're all really engaged. And people say you can't see that in presidential election turnout, and I don't think you can, but locally there, people really care. So I've tried to kind of bring that back, like you've said, and say, you know, well, why don't we care like this? Like, I was reading more about Hillary Clinton each day than I was about Chloe Swinburne, who, you know, is amazing and isn't local for us, but is in our country and was running for a local body election. So I think that's just something to really consider, that if we're having that much, if that country is having that much influence over us, then why aren't we listening to some of the things that they're saying about their local, you know, politicians, like Barack Obama. He came from local body government. And then from the upper house, you know, they don't see the progression that really happens in all politics, but it's all relative, you know.
One thing that struck me when I was looking at my Facebook page was one of my friends had posted something along the lines of, my 7-year-old son came home from school today, the day that the election result had been announced, worrying about a nuclear bomb. It's like, how is someone at the age of 7, that's sort of what's filtering down through school, through peers, through the system in which he's living.
Well, it's so hard because, you know, like, though we're living in a world of social media, it's really hard to know what is fact and what is actually true. And, you know, like, just being in America recently, there was this whole scandal of, like, oh, is Hillary Clinton really sick? And because it was all over the media, like, you know, they're trying to come up with these stories to kind of almost make it bigger than it is. And so we're left in the receiving end of not actually being in America and seeing it, but just seeing what's happening on social media. And so we only see the stuff that they want us to see. And it's really hard, and it is scary. Like, personally, when I heard the results of either of who it was going to be, I was scared. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be like World War III. Like, people are so set in their minds of who they wanted that if you were in the middle, people are attacking each other online. Like, my friends were attacking each other online. Oh, you support Donald Trump or you support Hillary Clinton. Like, oh, you're a terrible person. It's like, it's democracy. People can have an opinion of whatever they want. We don't need to attack each other.
I think that's one of the biggest things that comes from it around raising awareness for young people is not only encouraging them to get involved in elections and, you know, take up their right to kind of vote, but also instilling that respect for difference and opinion, because I think that's a huge thing that's come out of this election is respecting that not everyone's going to agree with you, even if you think you're right.
And I think now trying to say, well, whether you voted for Trump or not, he will be the president.
Yeah.
Try and support that. There's no point continuing fighting.
No one wants him to fail as a president. No one wants that because, like I said, like, there is the biggest deal made about America being, being a big deal. So it's going to influence us what he does. And, you know, personally, and I'm sure all organisations do as well, wish him all the best in doing what he can do, you know. So it's just thinking about it in that way. But to address the whole awful thing of what kids are saying and what kids are hearing, it's just, it's terrible that a child could think like that and could have that surrounding them. So it's just about installing more the idea that there's always this, you know, there's always going to be something negative happening and you cannot control that, but there's also always going to be something, you know, combating that, whether or not that negative thing is actually true or false or going to affect you or whatever. If you care about it, you care about it, but then you look into it and realise there's this, which is this, you know, force against it.
Taylor, you touched on the idea of memes. And one question I've got for you is this idea of satire and using jokes and memes to engage people, particularly young people who are probably most likely to get involved in that sort of approach. Positive or negative?
I think when we're talking about what makes it seem relevant to young people, you know, it's relevant, it's there, it makes you laugh, it might make you, you know, you might see a meme saying one thing and you're like, okay, actually I might look more into that. But then it also kind of comes back to what Sophie said, you know, what's fact, what's fiction, people get a bit silly with it. So, yeah, I'm not really
sure. But if it stops people from attacking each other, you know, by having these jokes and these silly things rather than personally going out to to attack someone, then I think they have a positive place. But think, then obviously you can't take them too far.
See, the thing is, it is. It's about taking it too far. And I've seen a lot of young people make it this thing that it's because young people have a lot of, in New Zealand in general, has a lot of banter culture, and someone will put something forward and say, this is funny, this is just a meme, this is just a laugh, but, you know, to someone else, it's not, and it is it is about, like, not taking it too far, but also, and I've seen a lot of people get really upset over things that are, you know, just supposed to be jokes. So when it is this kind of big deal, I can see, you know, memes are social commentary. That was their original purpose. They're going to exist, but it's just around how you use them and that so-called banter being in a safe space. Like, personally, I always try and show my friends memes that would rather be, like, a little bit controversial rather than, like, tag them in them or just post them, because that's, you know, that's going to be different to every single person you've got on your Facebook feed, your Twitter feed, or, you know, you're in a group chat with.
I think with the memes as well, it's quite, especially around the US elections, you know, you look at it and you're intrigued and you might have a strong response. But at the end of the day, we don't live in America, and so I think we are able to take it more lightheartedly. You know, again, that being, you know, we're sharing it, we're having a laugh, but people there are living that. Moving, you know, looking forward to, like, next year, I think maybe ones around New Zealand elections probably wouldn't be so hardcore. I think I'm probably, when I think about it, I'm not thinking such controversial memes. I'm just thinking, like, funny, you know. You know that duet where they were singing that Dirty Dancing song? Like, you know, I watched that, I shared it, I cracked up. You know, it got me engaged and thinking about the candidates. So, like, I think funny ones are harmless.
I think that, exactly, there's a point, and it's just, but it is about teaching people what that point is. And, like I said, like, a safe space no matter what. So, like, if you know that someone isn't on your Facebook who you would want to communicate with again, isn't going to like that or isn't going to really, you know, think it's funny, then why are you sharing it, kind of thing? Like, you know, I saw Taylor share that thing and I laughed at it because it's funny. But, and like I said, I've got the perspective of the two completely different worlds at the moment, of that I do have family living in America. I'm going to be, you know, with my family right after inauguration. it's just the reality of it.
So but then America voted that way. So if they didn't want that, they wouldn't have voted that way.
Yeah, but then there's like the popular vote.
I know, and it's the whole system's like
Basically, we can't do anything about the electoral college versus popular vote. We can't do anything about who the upper house is going to be or Trump's council. We can't do anything about Trump or Hillary or whoever we have controlling this free world, except wish them the best. And if that involves, you know, helping the process along with social commentary, I think that that's perfectly fine, as long as it's social commentary and not fueling the hate.
Yeah, well, I kind of like disagree a little bit in the way that I feel like we can do stuff about it. You know, we can talk about the things that we're passionate about and we can say, hey, look, what you're talking about here is not right.
Mm.
Like, we think we can that definitely, this is how
you're talking
we
about, like, tangible doing stuff. You're talking about raising awareness.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, and I do that. On obviously, like,
you know, if we're not happy with something, don't just sit there and let it happen. Like, we can encourage people to talk about it.
Yeah, obviously, talk about your views, and again, just reiterating that, like, it would have to be in, like, a safe space, though, because I saw all over Facebook a lot of people were just getting attacked.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're just going to have our final song now. Taylor, you've chosen Youth by Troye Sivan.
Mm-hmm. What if we run away? What if we left today? What if we said goodbye to safe and sound? What if we're hard to find? What if we lost the minds? What if we let them fall behind and they're never found? And when the lights start flashing like a photo booth and the stars exploding, we'll be fireproof. My youth is yours, tripping on skies, sipping waterfalls. My youth is yours, run away now and forever. My youth is yours, a truth so loud you can't ignore. My youth is yours. What if we start to drive? What if we close our eyes? Speeding through red lights into paradise. Cause we've no time for getting old. What if body, timeless souls? Cross your fingers, here we go. And when the lights start flashing like a photo booth.
Welcome back to Speak Up, Cordero Tia. I'm your host, Sally Carlson, and we're with representatives of the Christchurch Youth Council and Youth Voice Canterbury discussing youth engagement in elections. Having thought about the recent local body elections in Christchurch and elsewhere around New Zealand, and then the big dramas of the presidential elections in the US, what are some of the learnings that you think you're going to take from 2016 as we move to our national elections next year?
I think that the learnings that we can take is that there's going to be a lot of room to balance things out, because we were just talking about the whole social commentary thing, which I think, like I said, there's room for it. But I also, in personal experience of, an opportunity I had to go to Parliament and hear people, hear the youth speak as a youth MP, which CYC was so great to help me along with. I feel like people have said, oh, people don't, you know, take this seriously. People don't take elections seriously and our parliament seriously in New Zealand because of all the jokes and the banter. So there's balancing of that and how that can be relevant and how that can be social commentary and how it can actually be so great that we are, you know, we're a community in New Zealand. We're small, but we're diverse. So just thinking about the diversity of who that's going to affect and just balancing it too. Yeah.
I think as well, what you said around, I think New Zealand has this real like laid-back view of our own politics. And I know before I was talking about the funny, you know, side of it, but it's maybe like bringing out some of that controversy, highlighting that the real extreme differences in opinions of all the different political parties, and then highlighting how that affects young people, and kind of trying to highlight things that, you know, will affect young people and make them queer, you know, not make them care, that's what I was trying to say. You know, that, totally lost my train of thought now. I was like, I'm thinking about the US elections, but, you know, yeah, something that really, because there was a controversy of the US elections for me. It was just the controversy. Every day I was like, oh my gosh, what did this person say? Oh, how did they react? Oh, what does that mean for them, you know? Yeah. And how can we bring that to our local elections to get young people intrigued?
So the thing is, I completely get what you're saying, but I also, like, you know, like, disagree with you on a level, because, like, we want that, but we also don't want that controversy, because I know a lot of people in New Zealand I've spoken who believe that our politics, it's all governed on just basically a game of handball between you know, the party leading the house and the opposition. No matter who those parties are at the time, it actually doesn't matter. It's like, if you do this, I'm going to do that, kind of thing. And it's honestly just opposition for the sake of opposition. So there'll be a lot of thoughts around that, hopefully, and around how we can combat that. So yes, everyone knows who they do support and watch, and what they're actually saying, though, and not and what they're saying, you know, oh, you know, well, this person said this, so I'm going to say that, and, you know, really get them down the dumps or whatever. We want to support each other. We haven't got that many people in our country. Why are we not sticking together more,
kind of New Zealand kind of has, especially with politics, you know, we kind of have this thing of like, okay, politics is something that I keep to myself and we don't talk about it because everyone's going to attack everyone for it, and we've just got to keep it to ourselves because it's just a thing that we don't talk about in a society. And it's kind of getting that to a point that, you know, we can have our opinion and we can talk about it and that's fine. It doesn't change who you are. It doesn't make you less of a person if you support this. But,
It's a challenging one. And you're all in positions of responsibility as members of the Youth Council, as members of Youth West Canterbury. And we were talking about this a little bit before, and the idea that if you post something on social media, there's the opportunity for people to react to that either positively or it can be quite negative, and that then reflects on you.
Yeah,
I'd be really interested to hear what you feel about the role of people in your sort of position in terms of that front-facing, trying to get people engaged.
Well, the role of Youth Voice Canterbury is different to the Youth Council in that, you know, Youth Council engage with young people and are about, and, you know, empowering them to have a voice. Youth Voice Canterbury is really, is based a lot on, like, skill development and, you know, instilling young people with the confidence and the skills to have a voice. And I think part of that is saying, you know, actually it is okay to talk about politics. Yeah. I mean, you know,
why shouldn't we be?
I think critical debate is something that we need to talk about.
Debate,
but it goes both ways. Like, we might post something and people criticise us, but, you know, my response is, well, that's my voice, that's my opinion, you don't have to like it, but that's what I think. And it goes both ways. You know, we have in the past, you know, candidates have posted things on Facebook about youth issues, about young people, and we have every right to go and comment on that and say, actually, we don't disagree with you. So it goes both ways, you know.
And, like, just coming from a standpoint of what I think you were trying to get at with what your responsibility is as a person who's, like, you know, who is associated with these things, I, you know, everyone's going to have their own views, like you said, and, like, I'm kind of like you, like, if you don't like it, basically, get off my Facebook or deal with it. If you don't like it, don't like it. I, you know, because I've got that responsibility, I posted on, you know, the rant about the candidate who I didn't support, one of them that I had posted on Facebook. And I did this about all of those posts. I said, disclaimer, this is my personal views. This is not the views of, you know, CYC, who I was involved in through Parliament. This is not the views of, you know, the people who I know through ECAN and such. So it's, or, you know, my fellow UN youthers. So it's just really thinking about doing things like that, because then it is actually just definitely you. So people are still allowed to have their own voice that, you know, isn't that isn't around what their groups support.
Yeah, I mean, we have a responsibility, obviously, as an organisation, that we can't say, okay, as CYC, we support this group. But as an individual, that's totally fine. You can go on Facebook and say, hey, look, I support this, and this is why I support this. But obviously, as an organisation, we don't go around saying, look,
inside
I'm a member of Christchurch Youth Council and I support the Orange inside Party or something, you know? Like,
there are... a lot of groups do have, like, social media policies. Actually, you know, you need to be wary about posting things like this.
Or,
because it...
See, I see
it. I know, I'm totally backtracking on what I just said, that we all have our opinions and it's okay to have that. But then it is also acknowledging that people will make links between you and your groups, even though you did disclaim, you know, so...
Yeah, we had that as an issue with one group.
That's why, personally, like, I never post anything that's really even... that negative. It's just putting a spin or saying something slightly different about what you know your thoughts and about what you're sharing.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, you know, there will be people out there who disagree with you. That's just life. But it's learning to not take that personally as something that's wrong with you, but just saying, hey, look, what that person's saying shows something. It shows more about them than it does about you.
Yeah. So you're all about encouraging debate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Debate never used to be optional. Debate used to be completely compulsory. And I'm, you know, obviously thinking about, like, the olden days of democracy. But I believe that and I know that CYC definitely encourages people to, you know, think about their different opinions as well. So that's, you know, I can say I believe, but...
I think people are afraid, and I also think that people are like, it's so hard to... Like, on the news, you know, the Labour Party says they'll do this and the National Party says that they'll do this, but then neither of them do what they're saying, and so people just kind of give up on it. Like, I have my voice, but look, they're actually not going to listen to us.
Yeah. Oh, they're putting all this money towards us all, but it's election year next year, you know?
Exactly. Can we trust? So now they will, but, you know, but you don't know, like, what they say. Like, the party will say, look, we're going to do this, and then everyone's like, okay, let's vote for them. And then they don't do it. So it's really hard to kind of put together, are they actually telling the truth? Are they just saying this to get our votes? Like, you know, it's really hard to trust what's coming through.
Yeah, it comes back to what is fake and news as well, like on social media, again, the bubble.
Even TV news.
And TV news. I think
we, as well, looking at what our role is kind of promoting what is fact, you know, like not saying, it's about laying out the options and supporting young people to make an informed choice.
Like, our responsibility, like, it comes back to, like, events that we run, like having people face-to-face saying, this is what we are going to do, this is fact, or these are the numbers. They may not be numbers that you like, but this is fact. And then promoting that and reiterating that and, you know, not necessarily promoting certain parties, certain people, just saying, look, we've had this come through, it's going to help you make your choices. It's going to be positive. Biased, it's going to be positive in the end.
And I think we bring that from our local, our youth focus events, where we said, here are the candidates, the community board members.
That's what I mean.
Here's the issues. Here's what they think. We're not going to tell you who to vote for or who best fits your needs. We'll leave that up to you, but at least we're giving you
the opportunity to make them accountable for doing the things that they say. So,
So if we're looking forward to next year, just quickly to round up, what would you hope to see?
Ideally, I'd love 100% voter turnout for young people, but that's totally not ideal. Realistic. But just getting as many young people informed about their options and about the parties and what they're offering and educating them on how the whole process works, because I never knew before I was in the Youth Council, and still right now I'm probably not 100% sure how it works. I don't think anyone is. But just getting people the right information and as much of it as possible, so that they can make the right decision for what they want in their lives.
Yeah.
For me, we talked about how a a lot of focus is on Trump and Hillary, but really there's a lot of movement at the local level. Even for us, you know, we've just had local elections in our own backyard, but there wasn't that much thought about them. For me, I think, you know, there's going to be a lot around, yeah, the two opposition parties, but then we're the Christchurch Youth, well, not me, but you guys are the Christchurch Youth Council and we're Youth Voice Canterbury, so I think that we have responsibility to bring the national elections to our focus and look at our MPs and, you know, you actually get two votes, you know?
What are they going to do?
The party vote, but then your electorate vote. And I think that, again, that's something that's going to be really relevant for young people because that'll impact you. That's your local representative. That's kind of your feed up. And so for me, I guess, taking learnings from our discussion just now and, the importance of the local as opposed to the national and implementing that here next year.
Having had a lot to do with party politics, like just through stuff I mentioned before, as well as educating the youth or like reinforming the youth or just specific things that specific groups of, you know, the youth community in general want to know, like telling them that. I reckon we do that. We, see what they want and what they want to know, but then we take that back to the house and say, you know, the current sitting house and say, well, this is what the youth want to know. If you want to be back again next year, you know, why aren't you promoting this? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And we can definitely do that at a local level with our MPs.
Cool. Big plans then. All right. Well, I'm sure we will be hopefully re-looking at this in another few months.
Cool.
We're out of time for today, unfortunately, but thank you so much for coming and sharing your experiences and your opinions. And if you're listening to this, we've got our Facebook page and our Twitter account, and there's also transcripts online, so check them out.
Okay, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.